Amen. 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 Pastor Ed was telling me when I came in, you know, how the Lord impressed him to pray for that during our power this afternoon, and that a change was going to happen today. And guess what? Change happened. Change happened. Amen. Let's go to John 3, and I'll read 16 and 17 in the Passion Translation, and then I'll go to John 13 and read verses 34 and 35 in that same translation. Then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 30. John 3, 16 and 17 says, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it." And you know what I'm going to say? Hunt your neighbor and say, "I'm a rescue worker." John 13, Jesus tells us, he said, "I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." How many of you, raise your hand, you want to be known as one of Jesus' true followers? Then we need to be about loving one another exactly the same way Jesus loves us. Amen? Deuteronomy 30. God said, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live." And what I want us to understand is that, see, we have to change the way we view our choices. We view them as right or wrong. You know, I made the right choice or I made the wrong choice. And we're too casual about our choices. We're too casual. We make statements like, "Well, it's easier to get forgiveness than get permission." And so we choose to do something that we know is probably wrong. But we can justify it, because if you think you might need forgiveness, guess what? What you're doing is probably wrong, okay? But we're casual about that. Say, "Okay, I was wrong. So what are you going to do, sue me?" You know, well, you can't do that because the word says you can't take your brother or sister to court. So now, okay? But you know you were wrong. But God didn't say, "I put before you right and wrong." He said, "I put before you life and death." And I'm beginning to understand that the choices I make have to do with life and death, not necessarily right and wrong. Because, and death doesn't necessarily mean physically die, but I may make a choice and my marriage dies. I may make a choice and my finances die. I may make a choice and a friendship dies. There are a number of ways this thing can happen if we keep taking, you know, this choice making casually. I'm going to share something with you. It's a true account, and it's a very tragic account. And it happened recently. Friday, May 4th, a man in Odisha, India, was mauled to death after apparently trying to take a selfie with a bear in the wild. Prabhu Bahadura was on his way home from a wedding when he spotted the bear and tried to get a photograph despite warnings from other passengers in his SUV. See, that people were probably telling him, "No, no, 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 this is wrong. No, no, you're putting your life on the line. If you make this choice, this is life or death." And I did a little further study and found out that was the third person in that region to die from trying to take a picture with a wild animal. And I went even further and find out this happens many times across this world where folks, they stick their hand in a lion's cage trying to pet it. You know, and all these crazy things because folks are taking these choices casually. We're not looking at them. You know, the way some of you shake your head, that's probably what God does. We get ready to do something, he's like. I mean, But we make these casual choices because we don't see them as being life or death. But God was clear. He said, life, I put before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. So he didn't say to Adam, and I told you this Sunday, he didn't say to Adam, of all the trees in the garden, you may eat freely. But the tree that's in the middle of the garden, if you eat of that, well, man, that's just wrong. No, he said, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. That's what he said. And he did. And it would have caused, if God didn't do something about it, it would have caused all of us to surely die. So we have to understand that the choices we make will either produce life or death, and we have to let that be our governing philosophy. Forget right and wrong. Is this going to produce life, or is this going to produce death? That's the way we need to start understanding it. Look at Ephesians 1, please, and I'm going to share it in the Passion Translation. I've shared it before. It's associated with this series. Verse 3, Ephesians 1, out of Passion Translation. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with our hearts. So even though think about what it said, every spiritual blessing has been lavished on us, yet all of us are not experiencing it. And it was given to all of us. So how come all of us are not experiencing it? You know, it's not that God has, God does have favorites, everybody. We're all his favorites because he gives us all the same thing. But all of us are not receiving it. It's not the devil because part of what he gave us was power over all the power of the devil. It's the choices that we've been making. I said to one of our children, and they were talking about, I just need to get a break. I just need to get some money. And I said, all the money that you needed have already gone through your hands. And he said, but no, Dad. I said, how many pair of sneakers do you have? What'd you pay for each one? How many pair do your children have who are outgrowing them because they're only 8 and 5? And you pay $250 for the sneakers for an 8-year-old, you're on drugs. You know, I mean, I said, how many video game players do you have? Your children have 2 each. You have 3 or 4. How many times did you replace your cell phone? How many times did you upgrade it? Why? You know, because this one takes a picture that's, you know, 1/100th of whatever brighter than the one you had before. And you're paying all this money. So if you look around your home, you'll find where all your money is. Okay? It's in the choices that you made. You didn't make choices that would produce life to your finances. You made choices that produced death. And now you're upset about it because you want your finances to be alive. Well, you have to make different choices. Look at Romans 6. Please, verse 16, I'm in the Passion Translation with this one also. Romans 6. Paul said, don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose carefully. I like to say, remember, how many of you were here Sunday? Remember the analogy with the Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade? They're looking for the Grail. And they chose the Grail based on the greed that was in their heart. The bad guys, so to speak, they wanted all the riches and wealth that finding this Grail would give. So they chose a Grail that was filled with riches and stones and all these things. They put water, they drank from it, and the guy died. And the keeper of it looked and said, he chose poorly. And Indiana Jones looked at him, and he's thinking, a carpenter. Okay. This is the cup of a carpenter. And he drank, and not only did he have life, but he was able to give life to his father who had been shot. And the caretaker said, he chose wisely. And that's what we're trying to get us to do. God wants us to choose wisely. And one way to choose wisely is to find those things that imitate the Father. That's all. Are his characteristics in that? It says, but choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you and reward you with death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness, which will produce life. Life. So all of this, it caused me to start examining the choices I made and why I made them. And when I think about it, and especially the poor choices that I made, and I had to, okay, why did I make that? What was going on with me? Not every time, but it's accurate to say most of the time, or the majority of the time, or 99% of the time, I was in a highly emotional state. And the last thing on my mind was, what would Jesus do? That was the last, I'm being honest with you. That was the last thing on my mind. And after I thought about that, I said, well, now, me feeling that way can't be new. Because it says there's no temptation taking me except that which is common. So that means people go through this. So, but God is faithful and will not allow me to be tempted about that which I'm able, but with the temptation will give me a way of escape. And it said Jesus was tempted in all ways, just like we were, yet without sin. So I said, there's got to be a connection there. Well, it gave me a greater appreciation of something Jesus gave us. And again, it's something that we use too casually. Look at John 14, please. John 14, verse 27. I'm in the King James. What's the first word in verse 27? Peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can have peace because Jesus said he gave us his peace. So notice what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. So that means even though we've been given this peace, our heart's going to say, I still want to be troubled. And he's saying, because you have my peace, don't let your heart be troubled. Why? You'll make a death choice instead of a life choice because your heart is troubled. And you want that feeling to go away. If you're not at peace, then you're probably in a high emotional state. And you're probably in that high emotional state are going to make a very poor choice. That choice will probably bring death to something. I mean, I see some younger children in the room. You need to realize some choices you make bring death to your freedom. You know, it brings death to privileges. You wind up being grounded. You know, you can't go out. You're banned from using your cell phone or other things that happen. We need to realize you be in a hurry and you decide, yeah, I know that sign means full stop, but no one's really going by, so we do what you call a rolling stop. That means you just kind of slow down and do a look and keep going. And then guess from out of nowhere, another car just shows and that smashes into you. I mean, it wasn't there before, but you didn't stop. You kept going. How's that lead to death? I survive. Wait till your next insurance bill comes. Lead to death of your finances. You're going to have to pay for the car, and you will probably be ticketed. And if you have too many tickets, or if you've done this too many times, they will take away your privilege to drive. I mean, in John 20, because I've also noted that when I was looking at the scriptures about peace, often Jesus, he brought peace before he gave instructions. And in John 20, verse 21, in the King James, then said Jesus to them, "Peace be unto you." Then he lays it on. "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." But before he told them what was going to happen, he said, "Peace be unto you." Why? I found something interesting about that scripture. See, he wants us to accept his assignments, and he wants us to be obedient to him and to obey what he says. And the only way that's going to happen is if we're at peace. Because when you're at peace, you hear things differently. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8, and this is in the Passion Translation. It says, "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ." His peace is designed for us to hear the answers, and even more to hear them, to know the answer. That means you know without a shadow of a doubt, this is the way I'm supposed to go. I know it. Pastor Ed and I will be in discussions about something, and one of us will say, "Oh no, I just have a piece about it. I just know this is right. This is the way. This is it." And every time we've gone with that, that was it. That was right. That was the way. Because that peace allowed us to hear it and want to do it. Because see, sometimes the problem isn't that we don't hear. The problem is that we don't like what we hear, and we make the choices we want to make anyway, even though we're hearing something different. But if it doesn't, it's going crossways of what's comfortable or what I just like. I mean, it God changed the entire way I would watch television program. A program that I used to watch all the time. I was happy when the rerun, because I'll sit down and watch reruns of the old programs. I don't really. There hasn't been a new program that was any appealing to me in any kind of way. You know, I don't need to watch programs, you know, about somebody being a fiancé for 90 days or being married at first sight or all this other. I don't need to see those. They're of no interest to me at all. But I will sit down and watch it, and it just doesn't feel right anymore. It's not enjoyable anymore. I can't watch gangster movies. I can't watch movies where people get shot. I can't watch those anymore. You know, I mean, I can still watch Jurassic Park. You know, that's... But when they start training the dinosaurs to indiscriminately kill people, I won't be able to watch that either. You know, And the reason I like those kind, well, they're just doing, you know, what animals would do when they're hungry, you know. But it says, then when we keep our focus on God, wonderful peace that transcends understanding will make the answers known to us through Jesus Christ. And verse 8 says, so keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Folks, when we start doing those things, guess what we'll always have? Peace. And guess what we'll always make? Life choices. Notice I didn't say right choices. We'll make life choices because that's what we want. God doesn't want us to make emotional choices. He wants us to be at perfect peace. Some of the choices folks have made, you know, naturally and biblical, were just amazing. In Genesis 25, you know, this is about Esau and Jacob. You know, they were twins. I mean, they were battling when they were twins in the womb. You know that sharks do that? They tell you, you know, stuff like that is not from God. Sharks, when if there are two sharks, that's with great whites, if there are two of them are in the womb, they'll fight. One will kill the other one and eat it. Only one's going to be born. Wow. That's it. Tell me that's not demonic. Okay. See, how do you do that? I still watch the History Channel, the Nature Channels. Okay. Verse 29 in Genesis 25 says, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. I mean, he was very, very weak. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. They need to understand something. A birthright was a very, very valuable thing to have. It denotes special privilege and advantages that belong to the firstborn son. And even though they were twins, Esau came out first. So he was the firstborn. According to the Jews, he was to become priest of the family. That birthright also allotted him a double portion of the parental, of the paternal inheritance. And the firstborn also inherited whatever judicial authority the father had. So if the father was a king, the firstborn son preceded him as king. If the father was a judge or a citizen, whatever the father was, the firstborn son had that same position when the father died. But Esau was hungry and probably was a drama king because he said, when Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright, and he says, I'm at the point, I got to eat or die. I'm going to die. No, you're not. You're just hungry, okay? Fix your own food. Keep your birthright, all right? But he sold his birthright. Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him because he said, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall his birthright be to me? I mean, if I'm dead, what doesn't matter? But I'm hungry now. So he chose death to everything that was waiting for him, that was guaranteed his. He sold it because he was hungry. Now he's going to get hungry again. No, but you need to think about it. How many times have we made a choice and we've done something that wasn't eternal and that wasn't even going to last a long time? I mean, there's so many marriages that are destroyed because folks do something dumb. it just boggles me. But again, and they're casual with it. I made a mistake. I'm not going to get started on that. But Esau chose food over his privileges. And there are a lot of times we choose death over our privileges to have life more abundantly for a variety of reasons. But now that we're opening your eyes and your understanding to it, we'll stop doing that. Everything that God wants for us, everything that he lavishly poured out on us is right there waiting for us to step into. We have to make the right choices, which are our life choices. I mean, death choices are dumb. It is. What makes you think you can get out of your car and take a selfie? Well, not just a bit, with an injured bear. So you have a wild animal that's injured, most dangerous, because now everything they're going to do is to try and survive, and you're in the way. I mean, that's like you're going to smile. Okay. It's incredible. That's like I said, it's tragic, but it just amazed me. But people do that all the time. All the time. I mean, you look at some of these crazy fads that people do. I saw a picture of someone planking on top of an 18-wheeler. I mean, and I'm thinking he better be glad this is an open highway, because if that thing goes under a bridge, he's toast. You know, and folks riding the top of subway trains, subway surfing, death choices, and they're not realizing it. But in Matthew 26, verses 36 to 39 in the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus led his disciples to an orchard. Passion Translation says, called the Olive Grove. We know it as Gethsemane. And he told them, sit here while I go and pray over there. Jesus took Peter, Jacob, and John with him. However, and listen to this, an intense feeling of great sorrow plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. Not his spirit, his what? His soul. So now he's thinking about everything that's about to unfold. And he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. He knew it wasn't dying, but it felt like it was dying, because it felt like his heart was just going to burst into a million pieces. But he said, stay here and keep watch with me. Then he walked a short distance away, and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, my Father, if there is any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me. It says that an angel from heaven appeared to strengthen him. So even though, you know, the death choice was there. His mind was saying, no, you don't want to do this. And he said, Father, is there another way? But if not, my heart's desire, no matter how much agony I'm feeling, my heart's desire is to do your will, not mine. And an angel came and strengthened him. Probably speaking words of peace, reminding him everything's going to be all right. You think about that. He could have chosen another way, folks. But he was at peace. He had, see, we wait. One of the challenges we cause or we face is because we wait until we're in the battle zone to try and learn what weapons we have and how to use them. That's not the time. That's not the time. But we have a weapon, we look at it, it looks all good, we tell, yeah, I'm the righteousness of God, and he's under my feet. And all no, but we don't understand what that means, and we don't practice any of that stuff. And now the attack comes, and we don't know, or we're unsure how to use it. We're like, I need to get to the pastors, or I need to speak to an elder, or is there a deacon in the house? Something needs to happen because I have this thing going on, and I don't know what to do, and I want to just quit. And you know, this word stuff, I thought it didn't really work. Yeah, it's good. It makes for good crowds, and you know, the pastors can drive nice cars and all this stuff, but this doesn't work for me. Yes, it does. You already have it. You haven't learned what you had, and you haven't learned how to use it. Now you need it, and you don't even know it exists. You don't know what it does. You look down the wrong end of the gun. You don't know how to squeeze the trigger. You miss the mark. Even when the soldiers came to arrest him, and Peter cut off the soldier's ear, Jesus didn't say, "That's right, Peter, now go for the other one." You know, he picked the ear up, put it back in place, perfectly healed. And I like the way the Passion Translation says this. He said to Peter, "Don't you realize that I could ask my Heavenly Father for angels to come down at any time to deliver me? And instantly he would answer me by sending 12 armies of the angelic host to come and protect us. But that would thwart the prophetic plan of God. For it has been written that it would happen this way." So see, he knew what was expected. He knew what was supposed to happen. And he wasn't going to let his status or what he could do change any of that. He could have chosen not to go through all of that. But we wouldn't be sitting here. But he said, "I'm going with God's plan." Period. Peace allowed him to choose life over death, even when he was under intense fire. Everyone left him. He still chose life. Everyone. He knew it was going to happen, but knowing something's going to happen and experiencing it are two different things. So hearing and seeing Peter say, "No, I don't know him," three times had to hurt. And could forget these people. No, he was staying true to who he was. See, even as a child, Jesus had he had been preparing himself all of his life to be obedient to God, in spite of what comes. In Luke 2, when they were traveling and the parents couldn't find him, and they went looking for him, and when they found him, and he said to them in verse 49, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" The Passion Translation says, Jesus said to him, "Why would you need to search for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be here in my Father's house, consumed with him?" He said, it was necessary for me to be here. And I didn't know this, but that's the first recorded thing that Jesus ever spoke. First recorded words include, "I must be about my Father's business." Okay. In John 4, Jesus said, "My food," this is the Amplified Classic, "my nourishment is to do the will, the pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work." John 8 says, "You," in the Passion Translation, verse 28 and 29, "You will know me as I am after you have lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you will realize that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that Father has revealed to me, and I am his messenger, and he is always with me, for I only do that which delights his heart." And I read that and I said, that's a big key when you have a choice to make. What you're about to do, is that going to delight the Father's heart? And it's never maybe. A maybe is a no. If you can't say yes, maybe that's a death choice and not a life choice. Because I don't want to chance on that it's going to make Father pleased. I want to know this is pleasing to my Father. And the only way I could know is to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and to that peace that says, yeah, this is it. Then I know it's going to be pleasing. So that's what I'll do. Folks, the deal is that we just have to make we have to make choices. Our entire life, everything we do is a choice. And you can't, there's no way you can avoid making a choice. You could try, but God said, you need to be hot or cold. You need to make a choice. Because if you don't make a choice, I'm spewing you out of my mouth. Why do you do that? I don't know what I got here. You have to make a choice. And when life's pressure is on us, God still expects us to make a life choice. He never expects us to choose death. And to ensure that we hear it, he gave us perfect peace. And that peace will always cause the answer to come through Christ. So that means we have to remember what Christ said. We have to remember his instructions. We have to remember he said, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. So that means everything that I had to go through, your turn now. You go through it. But my peace I give to you. The same peace that Jesus had that brought him through all of those situations, we have. And he never made a death choice. Never. He always made the life choices. So that means we can do the same thing. If we just did what he did. He said, I only say the thing, as the Father has taught me, so I speak. Well, the Father has taught us that whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive it and we'll have it. The Father has taught us that we shall have whatsoever we say. Too many of us act like we haven't been taught. And we say things that are death choices and not life choices. Really, all that's left for us to do is develop the mindset that no matter what happens, we are going to be about our Father's business, period. And we are going to finish the work that he started because he put before us life and death. Not right, wrong. Life, death. And he said, choose life. And if he's telling us to choose life, that has to mean he's made every provision possible for us to choose life. So if we don't choose life, it's not because of God, but it's because of us. We have to stop being casual with our choices and start viewing them for what they really are. They're a matter of life or death. I'm done. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, we realize that all of our choices have not been life choices. And we are who we are because of the choices that we've made along the way. Forgive us, Father, for the wrong choices that we've made. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your compassion. And we commit, Father, because now we know, we understand. So we commit to life choices. We're going to do everything within our power to remain at peace, that perfect peace that the world doesn't understand, so we can hear the right answer through the teachings of Christ. and thereby make the life choices, no matter what comes. We thank you that you've given us the ability to stand no matter what comes. We thank you for that. We can endure because we know how to make the life choices. And we stay in faith because we believe your word. We hold on to our peace and we remain at rest. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, say life and death has been put before me by God. And then he told me to choose life. I think he knows what he's talking about. So I'm choosing life. Tell your neighbor, and I want you to choose life also. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you get some more in a few weeks. But I'm learning a lot about my choice making. I hope you are also. Because, I mean, Pastor Sarah's broadcast was right. God's going to tell us, but the choice is yours. It really is. You know, and as a song, that's the condition God put in the system. And it put it there to keep us on course. Find out what he wants us to do and do it. It's just that simple. Amen.